March has arrived, and it's time to score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. MyBookie is the best place for you to cash in on the insane buzzer beaters, huge upsets, and white-knuckle finishes. They offer live betting on every game, bracket challenges, national championship futures, and more. You can bet on almost anything, including the Democratic nomination, the presidential election, even the name of the next pope. MyBookie caters to all players. Whether you research each matchup or you fill out your bracket based on the mascots, MyBookie has something for you today. Join now and start winning big today. Sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? MyBookie pays fast when you win. With decades of experience, great customer service, and hassle-free transactions, why would you bet anywhere else? Visit MyBookie.ag and use promotion code MENACE for a 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code MENACE. Bet with the biggest, win with the best, only at MyBookie. March Madness is coming, man. It's time to get those bets in. This is the most exciting time for gambling. If you're not going to gamble now, when will you? I'm telling you, betting on March Madness only enhances the opportunities and the fun. So check it out at MyBookie and use our code MENACE and have a great time gambling. It is March 10th, Tuesday, March 10th. Thank you for joining us on Menace to Sports. I'm Zach Smith, as always, your host. I'm really excited about this episode. For those of you that don't know, Coach JB, Coach Jason Brown, if you haven't checked out the Netflix series, Last Chance U, he was one of the most illustrious and, exuberant personality they've had on the show, and a lot of controversy surrounding him. He ended up losing his job because of a text to some kid. But really some interesting conversation just about the Netflix documentary series Last Chance U, and then also just him as a coach, and get to talk about being a shit bird and being a slap dick. And for those of you that know or have watched the show, you know what I'm talking about. And for those of you that haven't, I would encourage you to check it out. At least go on YouTube right now. Pause the show and just watch a YouTube video on him just to get a little feel for the real Coach JB. He's an unfiltered, raw dude. So excited to have him on, really fired up. And I know Patreon subscribers, you got the interview yesterday. That's what kind of Patreon is for. We try to give you early access to content, also exclusive content. I know we have our morning show with Curtis Grant that's going to come out tomorrow. We have another locked up episode coming out this week. And then we have our question and answer show that'll be out, I think Friday is our target date right now for the Q&A show. So first of all, if you have questions, we're not done. We're almost finished recording it. And we have flexibility to add more questions, so hit us up on Patreon. And if you haven't checked out our Patreon, a ton of additional content, so check it out. For as little as $5 a month, you can get a bunch of additional content, and then you go up $10 a month, all the way up to $30 a month. There's a group chat that includes me, and we text, pretty much every day, just about whatever's going on with college football or really anything. So check it out. It's really fun. I'm really enjoying it. This Patreon platform has grown, so we're really excited about it. It got a ton of subscribers, and trying to add more, so help us grow. But really fired up about the show. Got some big things coming the rest of the next couple weeks. Great interviews, some great content. We're going to have a spring practice update from a few of the top contenders for the 2020 college football team or season. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And enough about this, man. Let's get to the show.
That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage, and the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man, I'm 40.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Welcome, episode 88, Menace to Sports. Here we go, and we are going to start this thing off the proper way. We're going to start off with a little dumbass sports media personality of the week, DAMSP of the week. Hashtag it. If you got one, you hear one, let us know. But our first contestant for dumbass sports media personnel of the week is a repeat offender. He was on last week for talking about, he talked about how Vince Young reminded him of Tim Tebow, even though Tim Tebow didn't play college football until after Vince Young got drafted. But that was his pre-draft analysis. And now the herd, Colin Cowherd, is back to talk about another great quarterback from Urban Meyer's program. It's like he doesn't know shit about Urban Meyer's program. So that's it. He might know a lot about everything else, but he knows nothing about Urban Meyer's programs. Let's hear what he had to say about Alex Smith, Urban Meyer's number one overall pick at Utah. Here you go.
Alex Smith is fascinating. Alex Smith, under Urban Meyer at Utah, went 12-0, beat Alabama and Nick Saban.
Beat Alabama and Nick Saban, he says. I want you to just Google the 2004 Utah season and 2003, the 2 years Urban Meyer was there, and see when they played Alabama, when they faced Nick Saban. Alex Smith beat Alabama, beat Nick Saban. What a notch in his belt, huh? This fucking idiot, this moron, doesn't even know simple shit about the history of college football. There needs to be, this is why, there is a huge void in sports media, because these idiots don't even know, they're too widely spread. This guy wants to talk about LeBron James, then college basketball, then he wants to talk about baseball, he wants to talk about golf and Tiger Woods, then he wants to talk about college football. And you can't know enough about all those to give knowledgeable content. That is my issue with sports media. Make this guy, it's like Stephen A. Smith. Let Stephen A. Smith talk about basketball. Nothing else. Don't ask him about football. He doesn't know shit. And it's just insulting to the viewers, to you. It's insulting to you. So Colin Cowherd definitely is a notch, is a candidate for dumbass sports media personality of the last, whatever, half a week. So we're going to vote on this. I need you to vote on social media with the hashtag DASMP. And then vote. Colin Cowherd is candidate number one. Let's get to candidate number two. And he's one of my favorites. This comes from Skip Bayless, the all-knowledgeable Skip Bayless. Let's hear what old Skippy had to say about Chase Young, following suit with some other commentators. Let's hear what Skip's thoughts were on Chase Young.
Chase Young. On Chase Young, I'm going to trust my eyes and trust the tape, because the tape does not lie. Right. If you know what to look for on the tape... Mm-hmm. I did not see enough from Chase Young to begin with.
Hold on, but first of all, before I play the rest of it, if you know what to look for on the tape, what the fuck does Skip Bayless know to look for? This son of a bitch has no idea what to look for on the tape. He has no clue. He has no resume to back a knowledge of evaluating a prospect or watching film. So let's start there. He's going to lecture you, the listener, on if you know what to look for. Chase Young did not do enough for him, but let's continue listening. Let's hear what else he had to say.
I saw in the biggest games that he would get swamped by bigger, quicker offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. He didn't carry enough weight and enough sort of leverage weight.
Right.
He could outquick people,
yes.
But he would get engulfed too much. And his line is loaded with top prospects, and so it was hard to double him because the offensive coordinators looking at, well, that guy, you don't know how good that guy is.
Right.
It was hard to double him. Here you go. This is a guy professing, watching tape, and he's saying that offensive coordinators found it hard to double Chase Young because of the other athletes they had on the defensive line. Did he watch the tape? What are we talking about? Chase Young got doubled more than any player in America. They did it constantly, almost every passing situation. On a third down, you can guarantee that Chase Young was minimally doubled. The only time I didn't see him doubled the second half of the year in a passing situation was on the 2-minute drive that Clemson ran to win the game. And I already discussed that. I mean, Jackson Carmen blocked him one-on-one. Chase was gassed, and he didn't show up in that single drive. That's the only time all season that either Chase Young didn't show up or he wasn't doubled and triple teamed. But we're going to listen to Skip. So those are our two candidates for Dumbass Sports Media Personality of the Week. Hashtag DASMP. You need to vote right now. Go on social media. Let me know who wins, Skip Bayless or Colin Cowherd, the herd, undisputed or the herd. Who wins? All right, but enough about dumbasses. Let's get to this interview. So we're going to take a quick break for one of our sponsors, as we do middle of the show usually. And do me a favor, check out these sponsors, because they're supporting the show, supporting me, supporting this whole movement. So make sure you check them out. Go to their website and click on their whatever. Check out their products, and we try to give you a decent deal through our code. But anyways, coming up, we're going to do because there's such a Buckeye following and a Midwest following, we're going to do a Buckeye and Ohio State kind of spring wrap up or really mid spring review. We're going to bring on a special guest to talk about what they've seen, and then also we're also going to talk about kind of where I see each position. And I've talked about it a little bit on a couple interviews I've done. I want to make sure to bring that content to you. So we're going to talk about that. Also going to talk about our written content on our new website is dropping soon. And one interesting article that one of our staff members wrote is kind of names to know in the Big Ten that you might not already know. It's not Justin Fields or people like that, but it's 14 names to know in the Big Ten. So we're going to talk about that a little bit on the show. Really interesting article, and we'll link you to that article because written content's coming. Really fired up about it. So make sure reach out to us if you have any interest in joining or helping out. Because that platform's coming. So quick message from one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back with the real Coach JB from Netflix Last Chance U.
Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And best of all, there's no more awkwardness. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when using our special promo code MENACE. Just pay $5 shipping, and that's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code MENACE to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. You really have nothing to lose. It's free. Might as well try it out. So hit them up. Check them out. BlueChew.com. Promo code MENACE.
Hi, welcome to Menace to Sports with Zach Smith. I have a special guest on the show, Coach Jason Brown, who was made famous from Netflix's documentary, Last Chance U. Coach JB, what up with you, man?
Good, brother. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm doing great, man. Just trying to get this podcast rolling. I know you're doing the same. What's the name of your podcast, real quick, before we get started?
Man, it's called Slapdick Podcast, brother.
So I brought that up. Talk to me about the word slapdick. So that's a word that I used in my career, and I've heard a lot of people use. And you used it probably better than most and more than most. The word slapdick, man. What's it mean? Give me a definition.
Man, you know, it's a... I got three things, man, that I kind of equate to that. Yep. I got a shit bird, a fuck stick, and a slapdick, man. It's really what there's three things that we use as coaches, man. Slapdicks are basically, as I mentioned in my book, Hate Me Now, Love Me Later, man. It's basically something that I think we all are slapdicks. I think we all try to be slap dicks at the minimum, man. Right. But when you become a fuck stick and shit bird is when we got to worry. And I try to keep people away from that. I try to make sure everyone's good-hearted kids are slap dicks. You know what I mean? We're always going to make a mistake, do something stupid.
Yeah, everybody has a little slap dick in them, right?
Yeah, those are slap dicks, man. People that at least have a good heart and try, yeah. I think... there's a little slap dick in all of us, man. When you go over that hump, though, and become a shit bird or a fuck stick, it's almost unfixable.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I wanted to ask you, so I had a question for you, and this is just, obviously, I was a football coach for 10 years at a high level, and I know you were obviously a very successful football coach as well. And I know there's been a lot of, scrutiny, a lot of people talking about, you know, language that you use and how hard you coach kids, how hard you were on kids. And I guess I have a different, I know I have a different vantage point because I coached football for 10 years. I saw some of the greats, the Nick Sabans and Urban Meyer's coach. And I just wanted to talk to you and get your opinion of the relationship and trust you had to build before you could coach a kid that hard. Because most people come on and be like, why do you use language like that? That's not where I'm coming from. I'm coming from, you got to build a real ass relationship to talk to a kid the way you did. Talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely, man. Good question. I don't know if you followed me on Twitter or saw what was going on yesterday. ESPN is announcer. We got into it. He kind of bashed one of my good friends down in Louisiana, who's a high school legendary coach at Hanville High School, and we call him Coach Salt. But I've had some kids from him. He started Coach Salt basically put out a tweet saying, like, I'm tired of this. He said, you know, it's disrespectful. It's basically shitty. And all these guys took offense to it. And yeah. It was like a seven on seven, little video that some people put out between Louisiana and Florida or something like that. Yeah. Some teams playing. And kids were just celebrating. And he wrote that tweet. And everybody jumped on him and said, why are you talking about black kids? Why are you talking about this? Turned into a race deal. What Coach was basically saying is, he never even mentioned any kids, by the way. He basically said, I'm tired of my kids going to play in this 7-on-7 shit because they're getting coached horribly. They're getting pipe dreams sold to them. And this new age world we live in this 7-on-7 deal is really hurting football. But anyway, he kind of said that, and it went on to a huge thing. And it went into cussing. And so Ryan Clark gets on there and starts talking about why Coach cusses. And I've talked to kids that say you cuss them out and da-da-da-da-da. So I responded saying, why is it now about profanity and cussing? I said, that's not even about what the tweet's about. I said, now you want to chime in and start talking about him cussing from another kid? I mean, it's just a bunch of grown folks that make these assumptions and these opinions about other grown folks. It blows my mind. And this guy's got a platform on ESPN that I think he could share and use a lot differently. But anyway, he don't cuss. He's talking about his son going to Ivy Leagues and all this shit. And I go, look, man. Not all these kids come from fucking sunshines and rainbows. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they don't have the household millionaire father like you. Now you earn that. You're right. You earn that money, and you made it in the NFL. You won Super Bowls and all that shit. Kudos to you. But that don't mean that everyone's coaching kids the same way. And all I told him was, your way, so be it. Kudos to you. But your way ain't the only way. And that's just what that's the only thing that I meant. And we got into it. But
Twitter's funny, isn't it? Twitter's funny.
Yeah, it's, man. It's crazy.
People get real tough on Twitter sometimes, that's for sure.
No, it's all keyboard cowards, man. It's fucking crazy. But you know, the cold part is, you know, if you don't have a kid this is the answer to your question. Like, have you ever seen a kid bash me on social media?
No, I haven't. And I actually I watched
it. It hasn't happened.
No, right.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it hasn't happened, and I have over 225 kids playing Division I, 20-plus in the NFL, 8 won a Super Bowl. I mean, these are accomplished as a coach, and I've never had a kid bash me, and I've coached some legends. So until you see that, then you can start questioning, well, damn. But these people see me cuss, and they assume that I automatically go running around Walmart cussing out little babies and shit. Like, it's unbelievable. Right. How they assume they know someone off of a show that's basically 16 hours of your life. You know, the 16 hours of that show, 2 seasons, 8 episodes apiece, 16 hours basically is what you see of me. They filmed me for 3,900 hours or some shit like that. Right. So, you know, they it's about ratings, and they went and chased those ratings, and it is what it is. And I chose to do it. I have big shoulders and all that. But it's funny how people assume that they know you, and they just judge you right off the rip, and they don't know shit about you. But they don't know anything about those kids. Me having to keep kids there from going back home to either try to kill someone that just killed their own brother or sister, or a kid dying, you know, of cancer. And I'm trying to keep them there so they graduate graduate college so they can go get a Division I scholarship. And that's the story of, like, Kalen Davis, KD, on the last show, season 4. You know, that kid could have went home because his brother was killed, his sister died. I mean, all kind of shit, and they don't show that shit. And it's like, that kid cries to me, and we talk every day. I still help him. I still send him money. Still send Rakeem Boyd money, Emmett Gooden money. And it's like, people know real recognizes real, like I've always said. And I don't need to prove to anyone who I am. And I don't give a shit what they say. And all these guys are these naysayers. The kids is what matter. That's why I do it. That's why I did it. And it's about getting those kids where they could not get themselves. And that's the definition of a coach.
For sure. Well, I have a unique perspective into kind of the platform that Last Chance U has become, because I recruited a kid out of East Mississippi before, probably 2 years or 2 years before before Last Chance U, even anyone had ever heard of it. And then I got to watch that I guess, documentary on the girl Brittany, who was the academic counselor, and then the football coaches and everything involved there. And it was just interesting to watch how it was portrayed on by Netflix and by Last Chance U compared to how it was when I was there. And it was very different. Right. You know what I mean? But I guess here's another question that I think is really cool that you have a very unique perspective of. I think junior college coaches have a very unique perspective of, and that is you recruited kids and then got to see coaches come in and recruit your kids. Very few coaches get to see both sides of it. You know, you're either a high school coach where your kids are getting recruited, or you're a college coach that is going to recruit kids. Very few get both sides. Talk to me about the difference in how you approach things recruiting wise and some of the shit you saw from some of these coaches that come in. I know there's had to be times where coaches walked out and you're like, this fucking guy is a clown.
Well, actually, I just told them that right in their face. They just didn't film it. I mean, they actually filmed it, but certain coaches got lawyers to not be on the show. Certain coaches did other things. Yeah. You know, I wasn't there to try to bash a coach or whatever, but the D1 guys that come in, you know, 99% of them, if they're not your boy, and I got a ton of boys that coach at that level and we're cool, and obviously I would never have talked to them in front of the camera about certain things or what have you. But a lot of the guys I didn't know, it's funny how they come in and assume that they know you, and then they know your kids, and they can think they can go try to get transcripts on a kid when I had a kibosh on that. I never let a transcript go out without me sending it out personally. And I used to go off on them all, man. And I basically banned, you know, Oklahoma State, Boise, K-State, few schools from even coming to my campus. They couldn't even come on my fucking campus. Yeah. And it's just, I tell them straight out how it is, because those kids, you know, you hear about an offer. I said, hey, coach, you offered my kid on Twitter, I heard. And they walk in like nothing, like they know you. And I'm like, it's funny because that motherfucker robbed McDonald's last night. And they dropped their jaw. They dropped their jaw, and they're like, what? And I'm like, oh, but you would have known that if you did your investigative research as a recruiter that you say you are, because you're going to give this kid a $100,000 scholarship, but you don't even talk to the fucking coach that has the kid? You got to be kidding me.
It's ridiculous. And you know,
and I said it's go ahead.
And I was saying it's just funny because in my experience, you'd think that that's like some uncommon shit, but that goes on at the NFL level. I had NFL teams that would draft a player that played for me. They never talked to me. They never talked to Urban Meyer. It's like, how the fuck do you invest millions of dollars in a kid and you never talk to his coaches? It's unbelievable.
Right. No, I know, man. It is crazy. I don't understand that one either. You know, the NFL security calls me all the time about players that are going to, because I'll have probably 12 guys get drafted here in the next year after two shows. And it's like, they call me and all this shit. And it's like, they're asking shit from 10 years ago and shit like that. And they wouldn't, you know, D1s can't even ask me those same questions. So it kind of goes both ways. It's like, you're ahead of the game, but the D1 guy don't even know shit about the kid.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I don't know, man. It's just it's a meat market, as we know, and these kids are treated like a piece of meat, and it's unfortunate because they all use the kids, and then, you know, they'll jump on the first thing smoking for a higher paying job. So,
oh yeah,
it is what it is, man. I mean, it's a cold business, I told these guys the truth, and a lot of the truth hurts these guys, and especially when I say it, I guess, and so they don't like it the way I say it, and fortunate, man, but you know, I told those coaches, man, that, you know, as you know, 99% of them, first of all, are horrible, you know, people, number one. I'd say it like that.
Yeah,
they're horrible people. Number two, they're in it for the money, obviously, we know that, which makes you a horrible person, in my opinion, but at the same time, it's like, you're using these kids for every single thing to get them on the field to play for you. You don't give a fuck about their academics. You say you do, but that shit don't mean nothing. Right. If you did, you wouldn't be leaving every year. You know what I mean? And yeah. So I just think it's a cold business, as we all know, man. But, you know, sometimes the kids are pawns and they're just, you know, big fish eat little fish. You know how it goes. Yeah. And I just told them how it was. Yeah.
Well, that's the only way to handle it, in my opinion, at least. What? So tell me about here's what I'm really curious about. I've heard you mention it on I've watched an interview of yours and you mentioned it, But I want to talk about just kind of, because you were obviously wildly successful, and then this camera crews come storming in your program, and obviously you approved it, but there was somewhat of a downfall because of it, and it was, I would imagine there was a lot of things that switched up on you once the camera showed up, both coaches and players, right?
Oh, shit. No doubt about it, brother. Everybody wants to be camera whores, man. I'll tell you that shit. It's crazy.
Everybody wants to be a celebrity, right?
No doubt. Like the show came the first year with us, and we get blown out game one, and we were a better team. Like, I knew we had the most talent in the country both years, actually. So we get blown out, and I bring them in, and I say, man, fuck these cameras. I said, hit the reset button. You guys are a bunch of older. I had about 20 transfer, Division I transfers I brought in that year. And I said, we had too much talent. I said, we'll fuck this up or, cause you know, let's make no mistake about it. Players win games, coaches lose them. And people think it's the other way around. Players win games, coaches lose them. It ain't X's and O's. It's Jimmy's and Joe's. We all know that. And it's about getting those Jimmy's and Joe's to run through a wall for you because they trust you. Number one. And they know what you're saying has their best interest at heart. So that's why I've had so much success in my career, because my kids understand, they believe in what I'm selling. And the shit I'm selling has always proved to be true. And I'm never going to lie to a kid. And I'm always going to be genuine. Well, the cameras came. We ended up, you know, figuring it out. We went on a 10-game win streak. We ended up second of whatever in the country. We won a bowl game, the best bowl game in JUCO. We should have played for the Natty, but we had a hiccup. So we end up doing that, and the year two comes around. Obviously, recruiting's pretty much going the same way. I think we had a few more injuries at wideout, and obviously quarterback killed us. We played 5 quarterbacks in year two because of injury. And people all look at you and say, oh, you're 2-8, and you can really add up all the shit and come up with your own opinion on why. But we played 5 QBs. I had to take 2 off the redshirt list to bring in. Put it that way.
Yeah.
We got that. We had 20 different O-line rotational starting lineups. All those things you can say as far as the football aspect. But the bottom line is we had a bad nucleus because of cameras.
Yeah.
And it didn't just go with players, because we had a lot of coaches under 25, 30 years old that were all, unpaid guys that were there grinding, working for me and I'm grinding you to death. But guess what? It's a results-oriented business. And last I checked, 13 coaches went Division I under my watch there in 3 years. And I got jobs for through buddies that I knew were looking for certain guys. And 7 of those 13 were unpaid guys. So it's like all the other unpaid guys bitch and moan about working hard. And it's like, well, fuck, I did this shit for free for 14 years. Don't give me that bullshit. I don't want to hear your soft story. You know what I mean? That's just, they don't understand the sacrifice and the risk versus reward. And does the reward outweigh the risk and those type of things? They don't understand it. They just want instant gratification like this world has become. That's why you have so many fucking kids transferring. That's why so many coaches leave so fast. And it's just, There's no tough skin anymore. I'm just going to be honest. So, I've always won 6 days out the week as a coach. A lot of people ask what that means. You know, everywhere I've been that we've won and it's been successful, my teams have always bought in and listened to what I was selling as far as we're going to win 6 days out the week. The 7th day will take care of itself, which will be game day.
Right.
And what that means is, we don't fucking steal at Walmart. We don't disrespect ladies in public or in private. We don't call them the word bitch. And we don't sag our pants. We sit in the front row. We act accordingly. We're never late to shit. Because if you're late in the real world, you're going to get your ass fired. And you're putting your future in another man's hands. And all that shit I teach and preach. And we lost 6 days out the week. And I told them, I said, because this is the deal. We lost 4 games by 1 point. We lost a game by 7. And then we lose a game. We get blown out by the worst team in the league. That's when we knew it was over, because we had a horrible nucleus and I had to fire 7 coaches, cut 36 kids off the active roster, and probably cut 80 kids total.
Damn.
Between red shirts. And yeah, so it was, we had 200 kids show up that we never even had prior contact with, because of the show. Like, there was females that showed up.
No shit. Yeah. Just to be on TV.
Yeah. Females. Hell yeah. You know, cameras are powerful, man, and a lot of cats can't handle it. Even grown folks couldn't handle it. And so
You know, I had coaches smoking with players and, you know, all the dumb shit, man, that you do when, you know, I was thinking I was back in California JUCO, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I'm like, fuck, these guys are full-time coaches at a place that gives scholarships and has dorms and cafes. California doesn't even have that shit. So you expect the shit show to be where I grew up, not in this supposedly structured and organized environment. And that's what you get because it don't matter, man. You know, idiots come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. We all know that. And that's what I had. And I get rid of it because it is what it is. And I started about week six. I said, fuck it. I'm already prepping the next year. And I've already started to read the ideologies, cultural quotes, everything. I started to read because I was going to set the tone and create. It was basically character first. And that's what I going into my fourth season there, successful tenure in the school history. What? I'll take the shitty year because if you coach long enough, you're going to have one of these, and or two or three of them, right? And so I said, I'll start this whole thing over. And that's when I started it over. I started getting it going to revamp everything, hired a great staff, I thought, a much better staff that was serious about the profession. We had probably the best recruiting class I had there, and that's saying a lot because we'll probably have 10, 12, 15 kids get drafted in the next two drafts. And so I'm just like, let me start over, man, because the nucleus was bad and we lost 6 days. And I told those kids, you guys do not deserve to win one fucking game because you guys don't win during the week. And it starts there. And I just don't think you can show up and get it by osmosis.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, that's everything I've learned in coaching. What you just detailed is culture and alignment are how you get success. And if you don't have that, it doesn't matter how good you are, you're not going to have it.
No question.
Tell me
an assignment.
Yeah, that's it, right? And so here's where what I'm naive to. So everything that you just talked about is kind of, you and I share a lot of the same beliefs, I can tell. But what I'm naive to is the JUCO world, right? They're just how it operates with as far as, I know a lot of times there'll be drug issues. A lot of times, like you said, a guy may rob Walmart or McDonald's or whatever. Because a lot of times you're dealing with kids that maybe either didn't qualify or maybe had some issues at some point. And that's how they end up in your lab. That's how you get a Division I, an NFL draft pick type of kid, right? So tell me about some of the issues you faced in your time in the junior college level.
Yeah. Man, I never had those problems. What I mean is this, you know, we get three types of kids at the JUCO level. Qualifying high school kid that all the D1s obviously fall off on. We go find the best ones that were D1 athletic, D1 possibilities as far as, you know, look the part, walk the talk, the eye in the sky don't lie on. Those types, go find those guys. Okay, they was going to go to Alabama. He ain't making it. Let's go get on him. And everybody in the country is going to try to get that guy. Well, we get, those are one kid. The second type of kid is the four-year kid that gets kicked out of the four-year school, right? For weed, GPA, whatever the case may be, right? And I grade those type of situations out. So, you know, you got everything from weed to credit card fraud to whatever it may be. I grade that shit. You know, weed is an A. Fucking bring him that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, credit cards of the B, but bring him, we'll take him. You know, I never fucked with anything that had to do with a female. Yep. I got a daughter. My boss was a female. I just never dealt with it. I just think you're the city when you come down to it. I never fuck with it. So I never mess with that unless I knew for a fact that there was a situation in that and that it was falsely accused or whatever, which right. I did that one time.
Right.
And this was in fucking USA Today about it a couple of weeks ago. So we did that. And then there's the third kid is the D1 kid that ain't playing or ain't happy, but has good grades, good character. And I'll get those kids. And I've had my first quarterback who ended up starting 2 years at Tulane. He was one of those kids, Jonathan Banks. So, he was that example. So those are the three kids we get. The Division I transfer obviously falls under the number two there when they get kicked out of the 4-year for whatever reason. knowing so many guys at that level for so many years, usually a buddy will send me a kid and place a kid with me or what have you, and knowing I'll get them back. Or, you know, a lot of the placement shit has kind of fallen off, by the way. You know, back in the day, your day, it's probably a lot of placements. Now,
yeah,
it's so much movement with coaches and everything else. You know, it's all bullshit now, I think. So, it's you get the placement kid, or you just go grab them, which I did mostly. I just went and grabbed them from everyone else and out-recruited them. And get those kids, and then make no mistake about it, those kids are broken, and I only judge you for how you are with me. I don't judge you for how you were before me, after me, what have you. I judge you how you are with me, and within my structure and program. And so we've had, those are the majority of kids that I get, and the non-qualifying kids, obviously. So we get those kids in, and you know what, man, when you're winning, how they say, when you're winning, shit, man, I've had so many crazy shit. You know, I've had cats, I've had sheriffs bring me weed that they've caught, pounds of weed that they had my kids caught, bringing over state line and say, "Coach, we don't want to make any fuss. Here, take the weed." I'm like, no, I don't want that shit. This ain't fucking, I ain't University of Miami in the 80s, brother. You ain't making no 30 for 30 on me.
Right.
I'm kicking the kid off, or you arrest that motherfucker. I don't want him.
Right. Don't get me involved.
And so, yeah, don't give me that shit. So when you're winning, it's crazy. When you're losing, you know, motherfuckers want to act like you're a criminal. You know how it is. So it's funny. It's funny how that goes, man. And so, you know, we had, like, you know, JUCO obviously is going to lack resources, and you're going to lack a lot of booster support and all those type of things. You know, you got to go turn over rocks, man, and find people that are willing to buy in. And that's what I did. I got a turf field, brand new $1 million turf field put in there, and upgrade on every single facility. Never got a new facility, but we made the facilities we had ours and made them nice. And you know, when I got the job, man, there was maybe 10 or so applicants, if that. When I resigned, there was over 250 applicants. And so that JUCO job became a top five JUCO basically seemingly overnight. And that's all I care about. I like turning places that are shitty into places that are now, nationally recognized. And I think every school I've ever done has done that. And that's why my favorite quote, man, I've always put it on my walls, is doing something that someone else said you could not do. You know what I mean? And that's, that's what I've always done, and I love being the underdog in that aspect of regard. So, but those are the everyday struggles, man. You try to turn and basically turn a boy into a man, or massage him and break him, and the kids that do that, they end up being successful. Go D1, go to the NFL. I've had 27 of them. Go get money, go get paid. I mean, you know, those guys, those are the ultimate guys. But also, you know, 225 plus guys, Division One, you know, 136 of them earned their 4-year degree. 26 of them got their master's. I mean, those are things that I keep track of. Those are the stats I know. I don't know any of the other fucking stats. I can tell you every play I've ever called because I got that crazy ass memory, but I don't care about stats. Wins and losses, I know those stats, and I know how many kids graduated in their situation. And that's all that really made me, because at the end of the day, if you don't have a relationship, they don't run through a wall for you. It don't matter what fucking play you call. It can be shit real quick, or it could be sugar real quick against shit. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
And that's how it goes.
That's for sure, man. Well, tell me this, now that chapter is kind of closed, at least for now. Well, one, do you have any aspiration to getting back in it, back in coaching, back in? I mean, are you looking, or you want anything to do with that?
Not right now, brother. I don't have any desire right now. No burning desire, at least. Now, to say I won't have it tomorrow, I will never say that, because you know it's part of us, you know, players and coaches. But right now, I don't know if I can mess with the. Got a sour taste in my mouth. You know how it is when you do something for someone, man, or a place or a town or a community or a county for that matter, or even junior college, to be honest, in totality. And then you kind of get thrown under the bus. I mean, you kind of get a sour taste, and that's just where I'm at right now.
But at the same time,
yeah, you know how it is. at the same time, I'm always going to be there for kids. I'm doing speaking engagements. I'm clinic and coaching staffs. I'm on a nationwide coaching clinic tour right now. So I'm taking bookings, and I'm basically going all over the country just to clinic coaches, high school, junior college, whoever wants me. and I'm going to go in and clinic their staff for an all-inclusive workshop type of deal, not some Glazer clinic where they don't even give you the real shit. It's going to be a real sit-down, inclusive clinic style. And I'm talking administrative support, you know, the shit that our coaches really need that they lack of, man. You know, I've done a quick story, and you can relate to this. I've spoke to 28 schools since I got back to California, all over the place. And the first thing I ask of these kids is, raise your hand if you can tell me what it takes to leave here to go to the NCAA or be an NCAA qualifier. You know, not one fucking kid knows yet. They have not one kid. I mean, you're talking thousands of kids. Not one of them knows. Now, whose fault is that shit? Yeah. So I put it on the kids because I try to be hard and tell the kids it's your fault because you should be the CEO of yourself and know every single thing there is to know about you. If not, you're basically putting yourself future in someone else's hands, which I hate doing because that's a lot of this, that's what happens to these kids. They get, you know, mind fucked and end up going to these people lie to them.
Yeah.
And you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's for sure.
At the high school level, it's the coach, it's the counselor. Why the fuck why do your kids not know how to graduate from your place?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that's who it's on. But it's like you said, you don't want to let that kid have that excuse one day. You'd rather you'd rather him learn. But ultimately, that's who that's who it's on. I mean, come on, man.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And I look sideways at the coaches every time I speak, and then I tell them the truth. I said, just so you know, you might like Mrs. Johnson or whoever you think you're cool with in the damn counseling office, but guess what? She leaves. She clocks in on the time clock at 8 o'clock and checks out at 3 and she's home sipping wine, not giving a fuck about Johnny and Jerome. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
And truth of the matter is you can graduate or don't, she's getting paid, but you're fucked. And a lot of these kids don't even realize, they don't even know how many core classes they need after the junior year anymore. They got to have 10 now instead of, it used to be that way. Now it is. And these coaches don't even know that. And it's like, how are you coaching these dudes? But you know what blows my mind? It's the people hiring the dudes.
Yeah.
Like, no offense to the coaches, because the coaches know what they know. And we all got to agree, high school coaches and Pop Warner youth, junior college, there's thousands of Division I guys falling this too. They only know what they know. And it's unfortunate. But at the same time, I don't know if they really go out and turn over rocks to figure out how to really do the greatest job they can do for them.
Yeah, and when you talk about that, you're talking about
they're allowing it.
That's a Google that's a Google search away. I mean, if you know you're coaching high school kids that might want to play college football, you could Google search that shit, man. You can find it out, bro.
And spend a day on it with your kids. How about you spend a day on it?
A day, one day.
It's just, it's amazing, man. And you know, unfortunate, but at the same time, I'm teaching those coaches how to do the.
Yeah.
You know, what's assistant coach's number one job? You know, protect the head coach, right? That's the number one job. Protect the head coach. Well, they don't know that and they don't understand it. There's so much disloyalty out there. You know how the business is.
Hell yeah.
So it's a meat market, man. And a lot of these cats are going to 7-on-7 and they go with these trainers who don't know dick. And then you get the kid back as the coach. And your kid's all fucked up, and you're wondering why. And he's doing the 7-on-7 national 7-on-7 tour with every swinging dick trainer there is, and it's a joke, man. And each his own. But.
Yeah, it's wild. The state of high school football is wild. It's wild right now.
Oh man, it's a wild, wild west, brother.
So you got the Slapdick podcast. You're obviously doing your speaking and clinicking tour. Talk to me about what else you got. I know you got a clothing line, right?
Yeah, I got Slapdick hoodies and shirts and everything else, man. And Hate Me Now, Love Me Later t-shirts and different quotes I've used. And I got it on CoachJBStore.com, www.CoachJBStore.com. And that's it. You can buy stuff. And my book, obviously, was a 6-week number one bestseller over Tom Brady and Tony Dungy. I never would have thought that.
Who the hell are those guys?
I know, man. Crazy. So, you know, hey, man, I was blessed to have the platform to use it, and I wanted to use it in the right way, some plastic way that a lot of these people do. And so I used it to write a book, and I said, screw it, man. It's just my story. But, hey, it went 6 weeks number one bestseller, and I couldn't have asked for anything more. And maybe I'll do a second one. I don't know. It depends. But You know, I got a lot of other things. I got a whiskey in the works. Whiskey, actually. We're looking to get it launched in May. Yeah, so, you know, I'm a Maker's Mark guy, man. And I said, listen, it has to taste better than Maker's for me to leave Maker's and go with my own thing. We'll see. You know what I mean? And I love it, man. And it's 5-year age whiskey that we blended and made it our own concoction. And we're trying to get that out there going soon. And we'll see how it goes, man. But there's a few things. I'm doing a speaking tour, like I said, coaching tour, and we'll see what goes on from there. I got another thing in the works about another show. Not anything related to that. It's kind of my own that people have came at me with.
Nice.
So we'll see what goes on, man. But right now, I'm just doing a lot of those things and finishing up another master's degree, man. Just to, you know, always stay, you know, iron sharpens iron, brother. So, always try to stay ahead of the game and
better yourself.
And while I'm sitting around. Yeah, man, just sitting around. I might as well. I said, I ain't going to do nothing. Let me do another degree.
I hear you, man. So, well, that's what's up. Well, definitely, everyone, check out Coach JB's podcast, check out his store, and check out his book for sure. Appreciate you coming on, Coach JB. Oh, you there?
You hear me?
Yeah, you there?
Yeah,
you hear me? Oh, I just said, appreciate having you on, man.
Oh, man, appreciate you, brother. Anytime, man. I'll stay in touch. And like I said, I'll get you on mine, man. I kind of took a week off, man. I've been traveling, so I'm going to get back here on it this week, and then we'll stay in touch and hopefully get you on mine.
Yeah, that's a plan. You just let me know when. I appreciate you.
All right, brother. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. All right, well, there you have it. Coach, the real Coach JB from Netflix, Last Chance U. The one thing I wanted to add to that is Coach JB's definition of a slapdick applies to anyone, any venue. Doesn't have to be an athlete. Slapdick is a noun. A person who does dumb shit and knows better, but simply cannot help him or herself. Someone who does dumb shit continuously in a non-malicious manner. So a slapdick is anyone that does something stupid. Now a fuckbird or the shitbird and a fuckstick or whatever the other words he said were. Now that's a whole other category of shitbaggedness. But a shitbird or what was the word again? A slapdick is just someone who does dumb shit. So really appreciate Coach JB coming on. Really funny dude. Really interested to see where he goes with his platform, I guess, if you want to call it that. So thank you, Coach JB, and thank you all for tuning in and listening. Hope you are entertained and took something away from it. Definitely get excited about the next couple episodes, so stay tuned. And like I mentioned before, check out our Patreon. We're going to have four in the next 2 weeks. We're going to have four exclusive episodes, a couple or more than that, really, because we'll have the Q&A shows that are exclusive to Patreon subscribers. We have the morning show that's exclusive to Patreon subscribers, and then the locked up episodes that are not going to be released to the public. We are going to release a highlight show just so people can in the public can see what's behind the subscriber or the subscription, but we're not going to release all four episodes. So really excited about where this is headed. Reach out, like I said, Zach@Menace2Sports with the number 2, Zach@Menace2Sports.com. Reach out for anything. If you got a question, you want it on the show, if you have interest in joining. Also, the tailgate, spring game tailgate, tickets are going to go on sale. God, I should have mentioned that. Tickets are going to go on sale, I think, tomorrow. We're 1 month away, so we need to get 1 month out and start selling tickets. The Point on Lane, it's going to be Tailgate Central. We're going to have a bunch of great food, a bunch of great drinks, some not just craft beer, not just IPAs. That was one of our only issue for the first tailgate. So this time we're going to have some domestic beers for you. And then obviously we'll have a bunch of vodka, a bunch of drinks, other beers, and then great food, great atmosphere, fun. And I know Braxton Miller's coming, Curtis Grant's coming. We're working on a couple more that I will announce later. But come hang out with us, man, before the spring game. Going to be a fun atmosphere, going to be a fun day. So check it out on our website when the tickets go on sale tomorrow. More to come. Check out our social media. Be all over there. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. As always, hope you were entertained or educated or fucking anything. It doesn't matter. Just hope you liked it. And if you didn't, as we say, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in the media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time
on earth is gone, and my activities here are past. I want they bury me upside down, and my critics can kiss my ass.